Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Shoot, yeah, welcome back. It is the G-Back Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Time to talk Mavs with Bobby Corella. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one's been in an accident, contact the Frankels 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com. Bobby Corella, Mavs.com, joining us here on The Fan. And a good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Doing pretty well, guys. I cleaned my bathroom. I vacuumed my apartment today. Just had to get some of the stink off me after yesterday, you know?
Yeah. Man, that was crazy. How would you describe the scene at the AAC? Is that comeback must have been intoxicating, but to have it come up just short, it was like, wait, what did I just see?
Yeah, I mean, I got to say, like, the third quarter, you know, the back half of the second quarter and the entire third quarter and the first, like, 9.5 minutes of the fourth quarter was probably the coolest environment I've ever been in my life, sports-wise. But, I mean, unfortunately, the first 18 minutes were also a thing that happened. And the final couple minutes, it was like, I don't know, it was like someone showed you, like, a $1 million bill and let you kind of, like, reach out and touch it just for a second. They're like, ah, not so fast. And they pulled it back and put it right back in their wallet. I mean, it was a perfect encapsulation of the highs and lows of sports, and you had like a decade's worth of drama all in about 48 minutes. So it was a lot. It was a lot to take in, that's for sure.
Would you have changed anything in the final couple minutes, or do you think Coach gave him the best possible chance with that lineup?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know that's been a big you know, point of discussion in the last 24 hours or so. It's important to remember, I mean, the Maxi PJ front court has been the Mavs' best statistical lineup this season, and that includes, you know, the starting lineup with Daniel Gafford in it or with Derek Lively in it. I think given the specific game circumstances, I don't mind sticking with that group, but before the floater parade began, you know, before Harden, I think, made like four or five straight floaters down the stretch in that game, before that, they were double teaming the ball, because a lot of this is designed around trying to protect Luka, right? And Luka obviously was a little banged up yesterday. You know, his knee was clearly bothering him. He looked a step slower than he was, especially in game two, whenever he was so good on defense. And so they were putting too high on the ball, and they were just getting cooked on these cuts to the rim and kickouts to the corner. The Clippers were shooting so well. And so you're forced to make this decision like, all right, well, we can't double team. Our rotations are already kind of shaky as it is defensively. So let's just put a guy on Harden and take away his left hand and hope that works. And, you know, it happened to Luka twice. It happened to PJ Washington twice, where Harden went to his right hand, which is his weak hand.
Yeah.
But of course, he's going to come back to his left to finish. And it's like, if you're going to give him his right hand, once he starts going right, don't overreact and try and get to his right hand, because he's just going to cross over and go left again. And that's where he wants to finish anyway. So I think you need to, like, really, really hard commit to that. And then ultimately, you would like to see some sort of help, some sort of rotation from Maxi at the back. But, you know, earlier in the fourth quarter, he was sliding over to help. And then it was just easy drop offs to Plumlee or Zubats or the cutting Russell Westbrook or whoever. So, you know, honestly, I think the thing I would have changed is, and I don't even know if this is a change, but you just have to be better at the point of attack. If you get beat off the dribble in the NBA, you are done. And that's especially without a ball screen. Like if you get blown by one-on-one, it's over. You know, you've already lost the possession. You have to hope they miss. And unfortunately, the Mavs just were not stable enough at the point of attack in the fourth quarter yesterday.
Yeah, Bobby, it seems like to me that is such a low percentage shot for him to take anyway. You know, I mean, I think the Mavs are probably more worried about him stepping back and hitting threes, which is a much higher percentage shot for him than the floaters. I mean, they just he got you know, fortunate yesterday afternoon that those things worked out for him. I was kind of just amazed. You know, like I'm sitting there like watching the game live. And by the way, your pregame scouting reports are the best for the crowd.
Oh, thank you.
I love when you do that. Because Chris tried to bait you into the Kawhi not playing was a good thing, and you kind of said, whoa.
Hey, tap the brakes.
Yeah, you did. You did a good job. Yeah, the crowd was cheering, and then you gave that real knowledge, and we were all like, oh, yeah.
He's got both games without him.
Should the Clippers even play Kawhi anymore, Bobby?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, they've looked really dang good in the two games where he hasn't played, you know. And it's one of those weird things where, like, obviously you think your better chance to win the championship is to play Kawhi. But your better chance to win this series might be to not play him, you know, and maybe hope that you can beat the Mavs without him and then bring him back later on. But as for your question about the Harden floaters,
yeah,
you know, I think one of the toughest shots to make in the NBA is a floater from between like 9 and 13 feet. Mm-hmm. Harden was just getting like an extra step. You know, yeah. He was getting into like 5 feet or 6 feet, where it's still kind of a tough shot if you're going full speed, because, you know, you're taking a floater, like you almost have to shoot it like straight up in the air. It's going to feel like you're kind of shooting it behind yourself, you know, because you're going to the basket with so much momentum. But when you're that close, all you have to do is flip it up with enough touch to where if it does catch the rim, it'll still kind of bounce in, you know. And I think that has to do with either showing help earlier to force him to jump earlier or to pick up his dribble earlier, or again, just being more stout at the point of attack and forcing him into a more difficult situation. Because if he gets by you easily and then there's also no help, he's able to settle into that really cozy range. You know, if you're forcing him to take like a 12-foot pull-up or a 9-foot full speed, like kind of awkward floater where it's like, do I need to stop and shoot or should I just let this thing go? That's a much tougher shot. But I feel like, you know, even despite him not being much of a floater shooter, I think I heard somewhere he'd only made 11 floaters all season before last night.
Yeah, exactly. It's crazy. Exactly.
So like, you know, that's just a much easier shot to make than what you could have done if you just would have been just a little more precise.
Mm. It's Bobby Corella here. If Luka is dinged or just not as effective, you know, Terrence Mann playing some pretty good defense on him as well. Would you consider going with more of Kyrie as primary, or would you consider that at all?
That's a tough one. You know, I think the easy answer is yes. Just let Kyrie kind of run the show and have Luka capitalize on the attention that Kyrie receives, like Kyrie's able to capitalize on the attention Luka receives. But part of what makes Kyrie so good whenever he's off the ball is he's an incredible cutter. He's a great relocator on the floor, and he has a really quick release on those catch-and-shoot threes. Whereas Luka, it takes him a little while longer to get the ball. He's not as much of a cutter. You know, he does some give-and-go stuff, but without the ball, he's not as much of a cutter. It's just his play develops a little slower than Kyrie's. I also think, you know, the Clippers have shown much more of a willingness to double-team Kyrie in the pick-and-roll than Luka. With Luka, they're switching or they're just really getting up in his grill with smaller guys and forcing him to like come around the screen. And then he wants to put the smaller guy in jail. So he's not really driving as hard as he can to the rim. He's kind of waiting to get those guys pinned to his hip. It's just a longer developing play. Whereas with Kyrie, the big is just stepping out and forcing him to make some pocket passes. And it worked, you know, especially in the first half yesterday. Kyrie ended the game with 7 turnovers, and I think 3 or 4 of them we're trying to make some, you know, these little pocket passes to split the double team. He's a smaller guy. Zubac is huge. Plumlee is huge. I mean, that's just a lot of length. Paul George obviously is doing a really commendable job, I feel like, defending him as well. So that's a lot of stuff for him to navigate, where if you ask him to do that for 40 minutes or 45 minutes, he might run out of gas by the fourth quarter. I mean, that's asking a whole lot of him as a distributor and a facilitator in addition to what you need from him in terms of scoring. So it's tough. I mean, you got to find the right balance. I think, you know, it's a big bummer that that Dante Exum hasn't been, you know, super effective in this series, especially on offense. You know, I feel like he's been okay on defense, but offensively shown a little kind of some reticence, some hesitation. You know, the shots aren't falling. They really need one other guy, at least one other guy that can do some sort of facilitation. So that way you can have Luka off the ball and maybe still also have Kyrie off the ball too. That way you kind of help everybody all at once. But as it stands right now, based on who's been playing well and, you know, who's been struggling, you really only have one or two options. It's Luka and Kyrie, and neither one is super preferable, at least, you know, right now.
Bobby Corella with us here in the G-Bag Nation talking Mavs. I do want to ask you, do you think it's time to get more Derek Lively? I feel like Gafford also hasn't been quite as good as we were hoping him to be. But when the Mavs were rallying and coming back, the defense and the rebounding and really just the energy that Lively provided, that's why the final 2 minutes, I get those that were sick of the Harden floaters. Why not put Lively back in the game?
Yeah, I mean, I hear you. I thought Lively was really good yesterday. I think he's been really good really throughout most of the series with the exception of game one. You know, I thought he kind of struggled game one. Whereas Gafford, you know, I thought Gafford was pretty good in game three, but yesterday was a bit of a step back for him for sure. You know, there was a stretch in the early fourth quarter where he missed a layup, got the rebound and missed a dunk, or maybe missed a dunk and then got his own rebound and missed a layup, and then got the ball back again and was fouled and then missed a free throw. And right after that, there was a stoppage of play, a timeout, and he went over to the bench and slammed his hand down on a seat and was just very clearly frustrated with himself. And it's been that kind of series for him. I mean, through four games now, he's shooting 37% from the floor. This is a guy who led the NBA in field goal percentage of the season, literally doubling what he's shooting in this series right now for the season. So, you know, it's uncharted territory for him. I feel like Lively's been, you know, really energetic, especially in the two home games. He is able to finish around the rim. He's been feeling good. He's been blocking shots. I think maybe you might see more minutes for him, but down the stretch in that game, you know, J. Kidd decided to roll with the five-out lineup, and I thought they were able to create a lot of good looks with that group, whereas when the Mavs have gone with one big, like a traditional big, you know, Gafford or Lively, the Clippers are doing a really good job of shrinking the court, which is especially giving Luka a hard time. But I think if down the stretch in games, if you do commit to playing more through Kyrie than Luka, I think you can get away with playing one of those traditional bigs, in this case, you know, Lively in yesterday's case, because Kyrie doesn't really mind the all the bodies in the middle of the lane. Like, he's going to pull up from 18 or 21 or from 7, and he can finish through 75 people. It doesn't matter. Like, that stuff doesn't bother him as much. So I wonder if, you know, if the plan is to play through Kyrie more, if they'll consider, you know, keeping Lively or Gafford out there, you know, if one of them is playing well down the stretch.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was going to ask you if you've ever seen a more impressive finish than the one that Kyrie had there, where I believe the Clippers had nine defenders at the rim trying to block a shot.
I mean, yeah, they broke the rules. They were cheating to stop him, and it still didn't work. I mean, it was amazing. And, like, dude, can you imagine if they would have won that game yesterday? Like, that would be an all-time comeback, and Kyrie, that would be an all-time Mavs playoff performance. I mean, what he was able to do yesterday was truly, like, it was stupendous. It was unbelievable what he was doing on the floor. And, you know, it's a shame that it ultimately went to waste. But, I mean, my God, like, he has been shredding these guys in the second half of games. They just need someone. I mean, specifically Luka, but they really need other guys to step up and generate enough offense before Kyrie gets it going, so that instead of trailing, Kyrie's helping you put the game away.
Bobby, you're the man. Is there anything else about this series, this matchup, that you'd like to say before we let you go?
I don't know. I mean, hopefully 2 days off gives Luka some time to, you know, get some more recovery on that knee. They obviously need him at both ends of the floor in this series if they want to win. I also know the Mavs are undefeated in this series when the Clippers don't make at least half their threes. So keep closing out, keep making things tough, and hopefully you'll get some bounces to go your way. But this is what the playoffs is all about. When you win, you feel like you're immortal. When you lose, you feel like the world is falling apart. I mean, this is why we do it. So, you know, I just hope everybody enjoys it, and hopefully game five goes a little better for Dallas.
Cheers, buddy. Enjoy.
Thank you, guys.
There he goes, Bobby Corella, Mavs.com, here with you as that series is tied at two. Just an unbelievable amount of very difficult threes. I don't think the Clippers can continue anything close to that pace. It's tough to say who's going to win the series now, though. I think the Mavs are the better team, but LA has two of the three at home. So we shall see. Where are we going next, Chief?
Best of the weekend, and it was a good one for our DFW Wyatts. That's next year in the nation.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.